97, 98, 99, 100.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, our 100th episode, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. We've got such an amazing show, this being our 100th episode. To celebrate such an occasion and an achievement, we're going to welcome Dr. Evan Goldstein from Bespoke Surgical, an elite anal surgery practice purposely built for today's male, focused on sexual wellness. They provide clients with the latest and finest health experience within a modernistic classical setting. We're super excited because we get to call him, what was it that we were going to call him? Christopher?
Was it the butt whisperer?
The butt whisperer.
The butt whisperer.
Absolutely. No, it's Dr. Bottom. Come on.
Okay. First of all, we were the ones who did this test call with him, so we know what you can call
him. Okay, no. I booked him, okay? All right, guys, I don't want to hear it.
We're not
why don't you go back to school and do something else?
Oh, God. All right, well, my name is Tom, and I'm your host, and as always with me are my crazy nut jobs, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
I like it like that. And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
All right. So now y'all can start arguing.
We were fighting before we were introduced.
It's insane. I can't with you guys.
I know. I hate it.
No, but we just
have a couple questions.
Okay.
One. Uh-huh. Tom, are we recording?
That I was worried about as well.
No. You can see behind me.
Two, are we streaming live on Digital Stream Radio?
Yes.
And three, how old are you?
Old enough. So I have to apologize to our listeners. Listeners. Yeah, listener. Listeners, curses.
Have another sip of that cocktail, yes. Tom.
It's gas. All right. So we have to apologize because we were super excited to roast Trish that we completely forgot that we had to go an entire other week before we got to the roast of Trish.
No, what really happened was I numbered the episodes wrong in our calendar.
I'm kind of pissed because
I was going to use that as one of my burns on the fucking roast of Trish.
Well,
but
you still use it.
Yeah, I'm okay. Just pissed that I thought the 100th episode was going to fall on my birthday.
Uh-huh.
But also to go with, this means that all of us thought my birthday was today, including myself.
Uh-huh. Especially last week. Yeah.
I know. Especially since I didn't get him that birthday present, I thought I was going to get him today. But now I have an extra week.
I don't need anything.
I know you don't. It's a matter of us giving you whatever we want. And you don't have to need it.
Fine.
You're just going to take it like Cox.
That's right. We have a guy coming on that can fix me.
Exactly.
You know, he might be able to.
Yeah.
I can't afford any more fucking shit.
All right. So before we keep moving, let's talk about today's cocktail. It's a delicious one. Christopher?
Yes. Because of our guest, we are going with the Doctor cocktail today. That consists of 1.5 ounces of Swedish Punch, which is a Scandinavian liqueur made from Batavia Arak rum.
That's not
spices,
a word.
Tea, lemon, and sugar, and sometimes wine. Mix that with 3/4 ounce of fresh lime juice and 3/4 ounce of Jamaican rum. You shake all these ingredients together and strain into a cocktail glass and serve.
Yeah, we do have to say that Nick doesn't like rum, but, you know, she...
I'm not drinking it.
Yeah.
Hello?
We had to skip the rum in her version of the cocktail.
She wasn't invited,
so,
anyway.
I'm the common denominator, I've come to realize, so...
Yeah. Just mix her in, you'll be fine. It's either that or you won't survive, one of the two.
Yeah, right.
All right, so listen, so much happened. My God, it's like school's in full effect for me and for Christopher. I am so proud of you, baby.
I'm dying. I'm fucking dying.
So before Chris started school, you know, I started saying to him, I said, Chris, you know, you seriously need to think about how many classes you're going to be taking because I only do one because I have so much going on. This guy is doing 4. And I'm like, Jesus, you're going to die.
I'm already dead. I'm already ready to... Jose is like, I'm waiting for the day to come home where you're crying on the floor saying, I can't do this. I'm like, it's week 2 and I'm going to do that when I get home tonight.
I'm super confused and conflicted about the fact that you're struggling with 4 classes, seeing as you're unemployed right now.
But
I beg your pardon. It's still a lot of fucking work. And I worked all fucking weekend, not to mention that I spent the entire Saturday morning and afternoon in the library and then went to work. So
I'm proud of you. I'm just saying.
It's a lot. Wait till I add work to it.
What is this? The roast of...
I want to add something today. You know, So I had two classes today and I was like, okay, I have the podcast. I have to go to the cafeteria and I have to get something to eat. And the cafeteria is pretty good there. But you know when you go somewhere and you can smell it so much that you can taste it kind of?
What, the stench?
Yeah, you know, like when you walk in somewhere and like something so smelly, you kind of can get it in the back of your throat and you can taste it.
Uh-huh.
So today I got
it usually happens with cum, but yes, go ahead.
Gross. Again, can't keep things nice. So, So I got a Greek salad and I got a side of this, what they call spicy tuna. It's like a tuna salad, but it's spicy. But you know, by after the second bite, I was like, this tastes weird. And then I took a third bite and you know what it like tasted like?
What?
The smell of like a petting zoo. Like it tasted like, the tuna tasted like what I would imagine a llama would taste like. But not like a grilled, not like grilled llama, like licking the wool of a llama.
Oh, God.
And that was disgusting.
Yeah.
So that was my lunch today.
Well, bon appetit.
Llama fur salad.
Bon appetit. Don't lick too much.
Trish is so confused looking right now.
Yeah. All right.
It was really terrible.
So so we've got a guest coming on, and we're going to try to sharply get him on the phone because, you know, he is right now on the other side of the U.S. He's in L.A., and we want to make sure that he's able to enjoy whatever's left of daylight on that side of the coast.
I'm sure they have plenty of it.
Yeah. Well, it's 6:38 here, so it's probably like 3:38 over there. So, you know, he's going to want to be able to get out there and maybe go to like one of those boardwalks, you know, and walk and do some healthy stuff to get your bum into shape, you know. But anyway, so the Grammys were last night, and there were a lot of great moments, but there were just a few that stood out for me. And whatever little bit I could catch on my phone, because I was actually on my way to work, because Nick and I work on Sundays. And so Bruno Mars did an amazing performance. I really like his energy on stage. That kid is just like, I swear to God, they must have shoved like literally 500 Energizer batteries up his tush. So maybe Dr. Goldstein,
if there's any damage,
you know, could help with that. Or maybe shove a couple of more so he can have even more energy. But he was amazing. And then, of course, he featured or had Cardi B come out and do a rap part of the song.
I don't even know who that is.
Cardi B is the one that dethroned Nicki Minaj, and there's been quite the controversy around that. But to be honest with you, I don't understand what the whole big deal about Cardi B is, because to be honest, I don't think she can rap as
good. Is that like a play on Bacardi?
No. Cardi B?
Yeah.
Well, I believe she is Dominican. I'm not sure what the name represents, but either way, I still think that, you know, lyrically, I think that Nicki Minaj still has it. She's a queen.
She makes me nauseous.
But, you know, she does her thing, and, you know, that's her type of music, and she really does it well. And I'm not knocking Cardi B, but I'm just saying that, yeah, I just don't see why people compare apples to oranges when, you know, one is, in my opinion, better than the other. But anyway, so not only did he perform at the Grammys, but he also won. He not only did he win album of the year, he won record of the year, he won song of the year. I believe he won a couple of others, which I really don't know what they are, but I'm like, come on, that's an incredible night. He swept the entire Grammys. He had an Adele moment. He did. Moment. Hi, Toby. And then, of course, our Broadway freaking goddess, Patti LuPone, kills it when she does her own rendition of Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. That was just amazing. I watched it secretly in the bathroom while I was on break at work, and I was just crying. I was just, this bitch is amazing. Do you like Patti LuPone, Nick?
What kind of a question is that?
Well, you work
a question
in theater.
That doesn't deserve an answer.
Come on, give me an answer. Say yes, no.
That's not. I'm a gay man that works in theater. Of course, I love Patti LuPone.
You know what I love the most about her? That she will not miss a beat in one of her performances if she sees somebody with a cell phone in the audience.
I still think my favorite moment of hers recently was when she stopped a show because somebody's phone was ringing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she had a fucking cow on stage.
Literally what Tom was just saying. Yeah.
And then she just literally just got right back on it like nothing happened.
So wait, what? when the phone was ringing, would she stop and be like, are you fucking serious right now?
No, oh, I think she flipped out a little bit.
She flipped out.
She had the person removed from the theater.
Well, that's
and she said, I'm not performing until the person's removed. And then she was like, okay, and started the show again. And I'm like, that is somebody who can do that. It's like when people are being played off during award ceremonies, and then they're just like, no.
Like Bette Midler.
Exactly. When they're like, she just like, when you are at that level and you have that stature, it's just like, oh, I want to be a queen like that someday.
You are, baby.
You are.
You seriously are. But anyway, so the last moment that really like shocked me, okay? So Elton John comes out and he plays his usual tiny dancer. You know, he's on the piano. Elton John is amazing. I've always really revered this man because he's just truly a talent. But all of a sudden, halfway through the performance, fucking Miley Cyrus comes out in the only fucking ruby gown, like princess dress. She looked amazing. Now, we're used to seeing Miley Cyrus, you know, run around in her little skimpy little outfits and blah, blah, blah. And it looks like she just like somebody stuck plastic to her body and just sent her out with no ass or whatnot. But she looked amazing from the hair to the dress. It was just like, wow. And I was just like, and then her singing, not only that, she sang with Elton and it was truly a moment.
She's like really, for a long time, I didn't realize that she actually is very talented.
Well, I mean, because a lot of people always associated her with, like, for example, Hannah Montana. And then when she had to, like, grow out of that, she had to, like, literally take a sharp left and come out with the raunchiest shit that she could possibly think of to disassociate herself from that clientele. Because
isn't she dating Thor's brother?
Didn't she date Thor himself at some point?
I don't know.
Oh, God, who cares? It's Miley Cyrus. Anyway, the girl looked good. She sang good. Elton John, thank you for making her classy, because that's...
She also tweeted about him today, too. She tweeted thanking him for the opportunity to perform with such a legend, which is
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah, that's a huge honor. Yes. He is truly a legend.
Exactly. You know, so anyway, overall, I thought the Grammys were great. Whatever little bit I was able to catch on my phone, because then I had to work, and...
What's Billy Ray up to these days? You never hear much about him.
Who's Billy Ray?
Her daddy. Don't break
my
Billy
heart. Ray,
my achy, breaky heart.
Anyway.
How you doing, Billy?
All right, so.
After the interview, I'm going home.
Me too.
Lord have mercy.
I got a paper to write.
All right, so we have a couple of stories to cover. Maybe we'll get to one, maybe two, before we have Dr. Goldstein join us. So who wants to go first, Chris or Trish?
Ladies first.
By all means, Chris, feel free.
By all means, move at a glacial pace.
You know how that thrills me.
Hello.
Yes. All right, so I'll go ahead and take this. So I was, you know, doing some research on The Advocate.
Because he's studious now.
You know. So this one article I saw was from World News. It says, it's titled, Gay Test for Asylum Seekers Was Banned by the EU Court.
Is that right?
That's right. Asylum seekers will no longer be forced to take arbitrary tests to prove they're LGBT after the European Union's Court of Justice has barred the practice of gay test on...
What is a gay test?
Well,
explain.
I will go into that. So, on Thursday, this was the European Union's Court of Justice barred this. So, the ruling was sparked by anonymous... Nigerian man seeking asylum in Hungary due to the homophobic persecution in his home nation. The asylum seeker was asked intimate questions about his life by a Hungarian-appointed psychologist and even forced to draw pictures and take a Rorschach inkblot test to prove that he was gay. So that's what they were making him do to prove that this person was gay.
An inkblot test, so like, I see a penis in that. Or
pretty
I
much.
See a, okay.
Like,
so,
like, is this a vagina? Is this a butthole? Is this, you know, a tunnel? Like...
Well, if it's a tunnel, that's Trisha's hole. But anyway, and Dr. Goldstein can help you with that.
And it,
well, what was he painting?
No, they were just Rorschach, like inkblot test. So that's what he was looking at. Or maybe they were having him draw pictures of what comes to mind and seeing if something was phallic looking or something like that. And the psychologist actually decided that the Nigerian man was not, in fact, gay. And because of this, his asylum plea was rejected.
See, I would just be like, pull your pants down. I'm going to suck your dick right now.
That is disgusting.
I will prove that I'm gay.
That's not true, because yeah. Whether or not you're a heterosexual man, if somebody puts their mouth on your dick, you can close your eyes and imagine whatever the fuck you want, because getting your dick sucked feels good.
Oh, see, I was more thinking about trying to get out of a country that's going to kill you because of this, that you would do whatever you have to do.
I'm talking about the guy who's...
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought Chris... Wait, Tom...
She's confused.
Yeah, I'm lost.
So, doesn't
well, anyway, so his plea, asylum plea being rejected prompted the EU court to have this ruling, especially with Hungary having their white right-wing government and pretty much siding against this and denying the man some kind of shelter and asylum. But the European Union court said that, the Superior Court said that you cannot do this. So if these people are just trying to get out of the country, you can't turn them away for that reason.
Good.
To prove that they're LGBT when there's just human rights atrocities taking place in these countries.
I mean, people are dying, for God's sakes. I mean, it's important that we do everything that we can to get these people out of these countries that are, you know, really making an effort to target LGBTQ members of our community.
And not to mention now that this person, there's a possibility of his exposure. You know, he's applied for asylum. That was, now it did not say in the article if he's been accepted, but if he were to get denied and word gets out in his home, a country of Nigeria, now this is just, you know, putting him up there that I'm saying I'm a gay man, and now he can be open to discrimination, to violence. God forbid something might happen to him. So that's, I'm very happy that the court bashed that down.
Well,
yeah.
Yes.
I'm all I can say is that, you know what, we need to do everything that we can in our power, and now I'm seriously speaking, no puns, to help our brothers and sisters worldwide. We are suffering something immeasurable. Not us here in the U.S. I mean, we have our own battles to fight, but there are none in comparison to what's going on in places like, you know, some of these African nations.
Nigeria, Egypt.
And, you know, the atrocities that are happening in Russia and in Chechnya. And
Azerbaijan. And
we need to keep our voices loud and at the forefront of our fight. So
absolutely.
That's important, you know? So we've got maybe, should we go to break?
Yeah.
Take us 10 minutes, and then we'll come back with Dr. Goldstein. And then, of course, after that, we'll wrap up a couple of more stories that we have and call it a night.
By the way, everybody, we finally moved Dookie back into the studio because he was packed away for a while. So, hi, Dookie. Welcome back.
Hi, Dookie. All right. So, before we go to break, we do have to let our sponsors get their little plug. Here we go. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Innovative Heating and Cooling LLC, a Connecticut-based business servicing the greater New England tri-state area. From maintenance and repairs to replacements, conversions, and even new installs, Innovative Heating and Cooling provides professional top-quality work for both commercial and residential customers. Call our friends Garrett and Kyle today and schedule your free in-home estimate by calling 203-283-7272. You can follow them on Facebook at Innovative Heating and Cooling. Now back to the show. All right. Yes. Back to the show. But now we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, the incredible Dr. Goldstein will join us on the show. Here's some music.
Then I would never
Welcome back from the break. That was We Need to Be Loved by the incredible Anthony Starbill, a previous guest of ours here on the show. Joining us now via Skype is Dr. Evan Goldstein from Best Book Surgical, an elite anal surgery practice purpose-built for today's male, an establishment which is focused on sexual wellness and providing clients with the latest and finest health experience. Welcome, Dr. Goldstein, to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Let me tell you, we've been looking forward to having you on the show because we've got a lot of questions about what it is that you do and the services that you provide for our community, specifically for our male gay men.
And I also want to come see you in New York.
anytime.
So definitely welcome to the show. So let me start off by saying it's really a very, very unique field that you find yourself in. And I want you to maybe tell us a little bit about what prompted you to want to go into this field.
Sure. I was practicing kind of general surgery. And during this time, I started to realize and see clients, gay clients, that were coming to me with problem after problem after problem, from bottoming, from not understanding the science behind it, and then also from practitioners just not understanding the sensitivities of our community. And I started to kind of really see client after client and say to myself, God, why doesn't anybody really know how to bottom the right way? And then I started to kind of, you know, test the waters and say, well, wait a second. Okay. If I fix this person, how does it heal? How can they use it again? How do we get these people that want to be bottoms, to bottom correctly, the right way and healthily?
Okay. So what is the right way to bottom?
What is the
right golden way? Question.
I feel like that's a huge question.
Sure.
I got my pen and paper out. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think people think that they can just right away just take big cocks. Just doesn't work like that.
Oh, I know.
Right here, we have one sitting right here.
Oh, God damn it.
I know. But, you know, I usually tell people that the best bottoms are the ones that bottom all the time. If you're going to be in the game, you have to do it all the time. It's like going to the gym. It's like, you know, using and lifting and doing all the work for your biceps. You have to do the same thing for your asshole. And the issue comes down to is that when you don't, people just think you can just shove something right in there. And that's just not the way that it works.
No, you tear that shit up. I'm I'm sorry, but it's true. So let's be honest here. So you find yourself in a dry spell, right? Because it happens, and I'm about to walk down that road right now. I know it. I'm about to walk down that dry spell road.
Although it's not recent, but go ahead.
What? I'll knock you out. What do I do? What do I do to make sure that my asshole's ready for the next big cock that I want to take?
Yeah, so I think that when you go through dry spells, the key is to use anal butt plugs, to use dilators, and keep it stretched. So there are people that when they shower, right before they shower, they'll just put a butt plug in, and you don't have to necessarily use it sexually. Obviously, if you're horny and hard and you want to get off, then get off with it. But a lot of people just really love. Just it's a use it or lose it type of muscle. So if you're, let's say week one, you're having anal sex, week four, you're having anal sex, week twos and week three, you should kind of once or twice a week use these anal butt plugs to kind of keep it working. A lot of lube, a lot of kind of engagement. In and out, a lot of relaxation, that type of situation.
I'm like, teacher, I have my hand up. So you can't use something like Ambisol to sort of kind of numb it up and just go to town?
The problem is that if you use the numbing agents, you tear it up, a lot more because you don't know. You can't feel like, is this guy so huge that I'm just not able to kind of take him? And so I think that the numbing agents are interesting, but I think it's after you've mastered kind of the world of what you know you're able to take.
I kind of picture that like when, after you get Novocaine, they're like, don't eat because you're not going to realize.
you're chewing on your cheek.
Yeah, you're eating your face
you're
off.
Biting your tongue.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to Gay Talk.
Well, we just jumped right into that.
Yeah,
straight up right into it.
Seriously. So I know that Trish, of course, because, we call him Trish on the show, but it's really Nick.
Hi.
That's his alter ego. Prepared a whole bunch of, questions of things that we really wanted to sort of kind of extrapolate, because although we like to get catty and crazy on the show, we do like to provide our listeners very informative information, and I think that you would be able to do that immensely. So I will let Trish guide the conversation in regards to questions and things that we had prepared for you.
I mean, all right.
Okay.
Hi.
Good enough.
First, I want to say that you have a series of videos that if any of our listeners are interested in learning about bottoming and how to appropriately bottom, you should totally check that out. You can get them on his Facebook page, which we will post on our website and on our Facebook post a little bit later today. But my first real question for you is, why do you think it's so important for a gay man to see a gay male doctor?
Yes. I think even in our own community, gay physicians still don't have the sensitivities of asking all the right questions. So I think that, you really have to shop around to find people that are, and physicians that are attuned to the kind of the current state of healthcare delivery for the gay male. Right. So I think that there's a lot of psychological issues, there's a lot of social issues, and then of course the physical issues that are specific to our community. And when you're seeing a gay physician that knows, how do we risk assess everybody? How do we risk assess yourself to make sure that if you're engaging, if you're bottoming, if you're on the apps, how are you protecting not only yourself, but how are you protecting the community? And to do it in a non-judgmental way, and to do it in a non-biased way where we talk about sex just like we're having a conversation now, where we try and figure out, all right, where are you now and where are you going and how do we make sure that we protect you the right way?
And I'm sure that having a conversation with another gay male doctor, you allow an environment in which, say, if I was sitting with you, I would be able to openly say, okay, this is how my butthole is feeling. Like,
right.
and you can understand that and get that completely. And you don't feel shame in saying that to another gay male doctor.
And also, I think the realistic picture is that I'll ask the right questions, just like you're asking me right now, to kind of guide the whole process to make you feel comfortable, but then also to break down the barrier so that I actually know what I need to do to get you better.
Okay. Now, can I ask, why do you think, so you mentioned that, doctors tend to not have a sensitivity to the topic in itself. Why do you think that is? Do you think that it has anything to do with the training that they receive when they're going through medical school in regards to sensitivity to the LGBT community? Is it something that you were maybe exposed to in school, or is it something that you acquired outside of your training?
Yeah, I think that nowadays you look at all the schools, they're definitely trying to come up to speed with a lot of the new LGBT initiatives. So I think, you know, kudos to them. I think Harvard did one. Some of the other schools are doing it, UCLA. So I think it's in due time, it'll be there. I think people are just afraid of talking about sex.
Yeah, no, I agree. You
know, I mean, and they're, you know, it's at the end of the day, you know, whether you're a size queen or, you know, or whatnot. And I know you're pointing to him.
I'm not a size sort of. I shouldn't be. Anyway, go on.
But I think there's a way to do it professionally. You know, I think there's a way to really understand the science behind everything that we're doing so that we're giving people good practices. I never judge anybody. People are coming to me, whether they're using protection or not, whether they're bottoming or not, whether they're on PrEP or not. I think it's understanding where they are, understanding how do we kind of prevent injury? How do we just make it a long-lasting life of bottoming, right? And there's certain things that just people don't know. Even the act of actually taking a shit, when you talk about going to the bathroom and you listen to people's habits, nobody teaches us the right way to go to the bathroom.
Squatty potty.
Yes. Get a squatty potty.
Squatty potty. Well, squatty potty sometimes isn't the right thing, because the issue comes down to is that if your toilet bowl is too low and now you use a squatty potty, it may actually be in the incorrect position. So there's certain things that I think you just have to analyze in a different way. And when we talk about it and we kind of see everybody's habits, we're able to make kind of tweaks so that you're able to just enjoy your world, whatever it is.
Can I ask you a random question since we're talking about squatty potty? Now, so we all have squatty potties and we all use squatty potties religiously. We love them. But in that circumstance, what is the correct height for a toilet when you're using just a regular squatty potty? Well, is there an answer to that question?
Well, there are three different size squatty potties.
Right. But I don't know which one I have. I think I have the regular.
I think you have the 7-inch. No, I was serious though.
I think that would
Thanks,
be a question.
Chris.
That would be a question for Bobby Edwards. But sure, go try.
Well, I think again, there's a lot of issues with that. One is also your pelvis versus another person's pelvis is completely different. The way that your colon is shaped, the way that the sigmoid and the rectal canal is shaped is so different. So I don't know the right answer. I'll give Squatty Potty a recommendation to kind of make one that you could actually raise up and down so that you can kind of figure out what works best for you, because some people use books instead of the Squatty Potty, and then one day they'll add an extra book or they'll take a book out and just see which feels more natural. But I think you can learn a lot from the squatty potty, because that same angle that they're creating, we can use during bottoming. And it's the same thing. It kind of opens up that angle so that you can take bigger.
Hashtag nice. Squatty potty and bottoming. Super excited about
so
that.
So we
one.
Just
they
found
do make the traveling
another
one
another use for squatty potty.
And you can take it on the go.
Bring it into the bedroom.
Oh my God, I cannot with this.
Okay, all right. Okay. So let me ask you. There's a lot of things that people out there do to clean their bums to get ready and prep themselves for bottoming. There's also a lot of misconceptions. Can you talk about the more popular misconceptions that people have about cleaning before they bottom?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think just being gay makes you clean. You're like obsessively clean in anything that you're doing. We wipe more than most. We're doing all of these aspects of cleaning. And I think the realistic picture is that one of my old professors said, if you and I were to line up 10 people and we were to have anal sex with all of them, maybe one of them, not preparing at all, they didn't use enemas, they didn't clean themselves out, maybe one of them would be have some element of stool. But the rest are actually pretty clean. So, I mean, I think I usually tell people that enemas are toxic, you know, even water-based stuff. So I think less is more. You know, people love to kind of over-distend because they think that if they're over-distending, it's going to be cleaner. But the problem is that it goes higher and higher and higher, that you feel that more stool is coming out. But in essence, the actual canal where the cock is going to go is actually quite clean. So, I mean, I think that the way I look at it is you have to look at everybody's bowel habits. If you're going routinely and you're going daily and everything is coming out appropriately, realistically, you're totally clean. And I think the way to prove it to yourself is use a butt plug, preferably a white color. A white color, not black, and then kind of see what's coming out and see and prove to yourself that it's actually quite clean. Some people, you know, still want to use enema-based products. And I think water-based is probably better than, let's say, a Fleet's. Fleet's causes quite a significant amount of irritation, a lot of mucus and drying out. And when you look at the STD and HIV rates, they're much higher in bottoms that use enemas. And it's just because the enema actually kind of cracks the cells that if the virus or some bacteria comes into contact with that cell, it now has a higher chance of actually causing an infection. So I think, you know, I always tell people, think of more of irrigation versus an enema. So kind of like a colonic, where whatever's going in, you want to come out. So shower head hoses, bulb syringes. I'm totally fine with people using that. It's just making sure that it's super well lubricated, making sure that it's less volume, kind of more going in, coming right out. And prove to yourself that you don't need to be sitting on that bowl and doing all this stuff for hours on end to be clean.
So not to get into my personal life, but when I use my bulb to clean out, I kind of treat it as if I'm putting in a Fleet enema, and I put myself in that position and let it kind of move in. And then I, you know, after a couple of seconds, 30 to maybe a minute, I'll get up and go on the toilet. Is that an inappropriate way to use a water-based enema?
No. I think that it just depends on how much water you're actually placing in there.
Okay.
So the bulb syringes can come in many different sizes. And so people, you know, are putting in a tremendous amount of water to kind of get in there. And then it's like a balloon, right? It's just going to completely fill up that space. But the problem is that if you're over distending, you can hurt the muscle.
Okay.
If you're over distending, you know, then you become then people start becoming dependent upon doing it. Some people can't have bowel movements because they constantly are douching and using enemas way too much. So I think that, you know, yes, that's a good position to get into, you know, as long as you're using less water,
right,
less distension, and just concentrate on kind of that 12 inches of space that really needs to accommodate. You don't need to go much further.
That you need for that 12 inches of cock.
I have another kind of awkward question, but
she's really prepping herself right now.
I'm totally. This is all about me, guys. Sorry,
all good.
I can't wait to meet you in New York. Anyway, so not that this is me, anyway, but I'm sure you've come across a bottom client who has IBS.
Sure.
Now, when you're in that situation, how do you address it? How does your client move forward and still have clean, healthy sex?
Sure. If you follow our Instagram, I'll just plug myself right now.
Do it.
That's totally. Kind of a pun.
It's exactly. There you go. Pun intended. Exactly. You know, we talk about these issues, and I think just last week we spoke about IBS, and there's no right answer to the IBS issue. I think it's trying to figure out, you know, how do you control, and is it through oral supplementation? Like, let's say you know that you're having anal on the weekend, and so you can clean yourself out orally by giving, you know, stool softeners, giving yourself kind of a gentle laxative and cleaning yourself out that way. Or if it's a really bad IBS issue, you can kind of stop, you know, close yourself a little bit by giving yourself Imodium. You know, I think that one of the questions that we had was, you know, tops always think that bottoms are always ready to bottom. And I have IBS, and how do I manage that? And I think it's really kind of picking and choosing your battles, and also knowing that there's certain times that you're not going to be able to bottom just because it's just too messy and it's too much going on. But also then understanding the science behind pushing everything out or kind of pulling back. Also, there's a lot of people love vitamin Bs. They swear to kind of a nice dose of vitamin B to slow down the digestive. And then also, you know, medical marijuana, the CBD component is so key right now from an IBS issue.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. So just kind of taking that down. And there's newer medications that gastroenterologists are prescribing for the IBS in and of itself. But again, you're going through these bouts of serious constipation and then serious diarrhea, and it just becomes a really hard situation to manage.
Interesting.
Well, that's good to know, because I feel like I know so many people that will personally say, oh, I'm planning on bottoming tomorrow, and they don't eat. And that's terrible for your body. Like, there has to be other ways, like what you're saying. You know, still feed your body. You need to feed yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just gonna get me a pound of weed. Go to town. You know what that reminds me of? That episode in Sex and the City where Samantha, like, finds this guy, and he's, like, really enormous, and he tells her, I'm, like, really huge. And she goes, like, I can take you. And then, of course, when they end up in the bedroom, she's just like, holy shit, what did I get myself into? So then, of course, they insinuate that he just sticks the head, and she's like, I can't. We need to regroup. And so the next time they go and have sex, she comes out with a massive joint, and she just and like...
You know, it's funny.
Okay,
I know somebody who... It's a heterosexual couple, but their husband likes anal sex, and she will pop a hydrocodone before they have sex.
For him or for her?
For her.
Oh.
So she's just like, all right, have fun.
Oh my God.
She's good to go.
How romantic.
I know, right? I mean, like, you have to do what you have to do in those situations.
Plug it in.
So... off topic, but anyway, moving back to you. So we've talked a lot about how you address bottoms. Now, if you are seeing a top, how do you then educate them on the best practices for interacting sexually with their bottom counterpart?
I think that there's two roles from a top perspective. There are these tops that physiologically want to be a bottom, and they just can't. So one of the things that they come to me is to kind of learn, how do you become a bottom from the pathology of, let's say, they're having anal pain during sex. There's something that's prohibiting them. So I think that when tops come to me, there's two types of tops. There's tops that want to bottom, but there's an issue that's kind of preventing that. So I can help them achieve that. A lot of surgery that I can do is to correct that, but then also use Botox a lot. So Botox allows for really good relaxation in that area so that we can kind of allow people to achieve what they want. Okay. And then also tops that come to me, we talk a lot about understanding the bottom, understanding how to enter the right way, specific positions to start with, specific lubrication, and how to make sure that that entire canal is lubricated. And I think that, you know, a lot of the world that I deal with is definitely geared more towards the bottom, but the bottom knows a really good top. When they have one,
are you
right?
Kidding me? They can freaking smell them from a mile away. They've got time to lube up that cock and, you know, or their ass and
I'm
get it
grieving
ready.
A really amazing top right now, so thanks for bringing that up.
Are you kidding me? You can see them, like, literally, you can, like, sense them from, like, the next town over. They're coming.
Absolutely. And I think there's an art to topping. And I think that you need to explain, you need to understand, and they really need to understand kind of all the mechanics behind it. And then it just kind of, you know, everyone's off to the races from there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would say so.
So I have two more things I would like you to address, if that's okay. The first is, if you could just tell us a little bit more about sexual wellness and how to stay healthy, both as a bottom or a top. And then also, if you could address the differences between anal fissures and also hemorrhoids, and how we can be aware of that and or treat that as bottom.
And before you answer that, the reason why she's asking that is because her hole looks like it went through a meat mincer.
That's why I'm coming to see you.
But go.
Okay, let's start with your hole being all, you know, issues going on. So I think from a fissure perspective, a fissure is basically a cut. There's two types of, there's two areas in the anal region that are specific for tears. It's towards the front, like towards the testicle region, and towards the kind of the coccyx bone. Most people, it's towards the back that they tear. It's just the weakest spot in everyone's ass. And basically what happens is that either the skin is too taut, that when someone's trying to enter you, that your muscle's able to relax, but the skin doesn't relax enough, and then it tears. Or the other way around, that the muscle is super tight, that when someone's trying to kind of get in, that again, it tears. And there's certain positions that cause more tearing than others. And we can kind of go over that at some point. But I think that from a fissure perspective, it's a tear. From a hemorrhoid perspective, it's these dilated veins. So it's no different than, let's say, a varicose vein. You see people walking on the street and they have these kind of blood vessels on their legs that are a little bulging. Same thing. It's just now on your ass. So when you think of a hemorrhoid, everybody has hemorrhoids. They're there for a reason. When we're having sex or when we're having a bowel movement, blood goes to the hemorrhoid and kind of creates a cushion, like a pillow, so that when you go to the bathroom or when you're having sex, there's so much pressure that you're not tearing anything. But if you're pushing too much when you go to the bowel movements, if you're, you know, holding your breath and engaging really aggressively, more blood goes there, more blood goes there. And the more blood that goes there, these veins can get quite dilated. Sometimes there's blood that can clot in there. That's quite painful if it's on the outside. Sometimes they can tear and bleed. And a lot of times they go back on their own. But then sometimes they develop these extra skin tags. So people come to me and they're like, oh, I have these kind of extra skin folds that are in that area. And those are mostly from hemorrhoidal tissue that develops.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what you do in the practice when people come see you. So what type of surgeries are the most common for bottoms?
Skin tags, hemorrhoids, anal fissures. I think that when you look at anal fissures, that's probably the number one. And then I think the aesthetic component. So people that have issues, the way that fissures heal, sometimes they heal in the wrong way. They kind of form this extra tissue in the area that just looks funny. The ass doesn't look playable anymore. And people make comments and it becomes more of a kind of a psychological defeat, per se. So I think that cleaning out these fissures, because the scar tissue that's there is just not strong enough. So what happens is you go to the bathroom and you keep tearing and it just becomes this constant thing where it's just not healing the right way. So I think cleaning out the fissures, removing these skin tags so it looks quite appealing, and then using some Botox in the area to just allow for everything to heal post-surgery and then allow everybody to get back to bottoming.
Oh, he's totally the butt whisperer.
Yeah,
no. Definitely. So once you perform a surgery in the butt area, you can remove either a tag or a hemorrhoid, or you induce, you know, Botox, right? Mm-hmm. Or you provide treatment to someone. What's the recovery time?
That's important.
Yes, it hurts clearly.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I usually tell people it's 1 to 2 days of narcotics and not loving me. That's for sure. So that's for sure. And then it's usually 1 to 2 weeks of just discomfort during bowel movement time.
Okay.
So we give, you know, suppositories and lotions and you know, Advil and Motrin usually suffices over the first 1 to 2 weeks. And then usually everyone comes to my office postoperatively in about 3 weeks' time. And then I can really check and assess to see how things are healing. Most people by 6 weeks are starting to use butt plugs and dilators and really starting to stretch. And that's the key to kind of what we do. Most heterosexual practitioners, they're just kind of taking care of the issue, but they're not getting people back to the bottoming game, which is that's the key component to this. So in about 4 to 6 weeks post-surgery, we start kind of using toys to stretch, open things up, make the scar form really tough so that you're able to now engage the right way. Bottoming game is about two months off the bottoming game in order to get you back to where you need to be.
Dr. Evan, I don't know about that.
That's everyone's gripe. That's for sure.
I can't wait. Oh, Lord have mercy. You.
What?
I'm going to send you to the surgeon every 4 weeks.
You know, I'm not going to lie to you. We're all explicit on the show. I watched his videos, and through watching his videos, I was like, fuck, I need to come see you. Like, not, I've been bottoming since I was what? Let's see, 16 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm now 30 years old.
That's a long time.
I don't know what the fuck I was doing for 10 of those years.
So. You were at every corner possible. Don't lie.
I wasn't a whore. I didn't get paid for everyone.
No. There's a difference between a whore and a prostitute, but that's okay.
Jesus.
Just saying. All right. So let's talk about your facility in New York City. So you have a facility. How long have you had this practice?
So practice has been about 8 years. A current location, about 2 years. We're a couple of blocks south of Union Square. I have an amazing surgery center in Midtown called Midtown Surgery Center. Great nurses facility. The staff there is just so amazing and accommodating to our community. They're super allies. I mean, it's been quite amazing. And I only do work there. I don't do hospital-based work, just simply because the quality of care and the professionalism that we all want, I found in this this practice. So that's great. And then out in Los Angeles, I opened up almost a year and a half to 2 years ago out in LA. Awesome. I started to see the same type of situation. A lot of my friends that were bi-coastal and living in LA were saying, there's nobody out here really doing it the way that you're doing it in New York. Can you come out and help the community? And that's why we're here.
That's awesome. Do you have fellow doctors that are, you know, sharing in your experience? Because it sounds like what you're doing is you're really providing a very unique service to our community. So obviously you can't be in two places at one time. So if you've got a place in LA, which you find yourself in at the moment, and then New York, it's like, how do you manage that time without allies?
Yeah, I think that the realistic picture is that most of this stuff is elective surgery. So I'm able to kind of really pick and choose and say, okay, this is where I'm going to be. There's not usually emergencies with this. Most of the stuff, if it's an emergent situation, can be handled with medication, antibiotics, STD treatment, that type of stuff.
Gotcha.
So yes, I would love for other physicians, for me to find other physicians that have the same understanding that I do. It's just, you know, when you look at the surgical world, there's not a lot of gay out surgeons that are there. The ones that are out right now are kind of providing more cancer preventative care and not necessarily behind the good old bottom.
I swear you need to like literally like take a weekend and go down to MAL or IML and set up a workshop or set up a tent and literally just you would kill it. You would kill it in any of these two events because it's just insane.
You know, you also said that most of these surgeries are elective surgeries. Now, does that mean insurance doesn't cover them or are these mostly paid out of pocket?
No, insurance covers, you know, hemorrhoids, tags, fissures, the whole gamut are covered by insurance, which is, you know, which is great. You know, the goal is to not have money come out of everybody's pocket. You know, insurance these days is nothing spectacular. Uh-huh. Most insurances, whether, and, you know, you pay a buttload to the insurance company, you still have to pay from deductibles and co-insurances. But, we work with everybody to give everybody the fair share. And I also do a lot of Medicaid work, you know, just because I love to give back to the community. So the key for me is, you know, if I'm doing six surgeries that pay well, the other four surgeries I kind of take as pro bono work and kind of help the community where I can.
That's awesome.
Perfect for you, Chris.
I was really worried about like today's consultation fee because the Gay Talk health insurance plan is terrible.
I'm still waiting on my check.
You're going to be waiting for a while, girl, because we poor. We poor.
Just email the bill to gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
Use Pony Express.
Definitely use the Pony Express because I'm going to need a lot of time to get that money together. I'm telling you.
So if I wanted to go about coming to see you, which I do, but for our listeners, if I wanted to go about coming to see you in the New York or the LA office, how do I go about contacting your offices?
The best is online, bespokesurgical.com. On the right-hand upper corner, you just click kind of, consultation, and it kind of walks you through some steps. My staff will take care of it from there. They get all the basic information. We try and use as much technology as possible. People fill out the forms online. It's super easy. I don't want people to come to the office and have to do all this kind of nonsense. And we kind of streamline the whole process and walk everybody through to get the consultation either in New York or LA.
Amazing.
Question.
Anything.
So, you seem to be a very open-minded guy, and I'm sure that you've been exposed to a lot of things. Can you briefly, before we let you go, because I know you probably want to enjoy the rest of the beautiful day that you have in LA, can you briefly talk about funny things that happen in the practice, in your everyday work? Like, what are the funniest things that you've ever heard from either a client? Is there anything that shocks you at this point?
No, nothing shocks me, but it adds very quite cool information, because for me, I do a blog post on Medium, and it on Tuesdays, every other Tuesdays, it's Tales from the Tale. You guys should check it out, because it goes over exactly what you're talking about now. And you know, it's just, you hear some of these stories and I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe that this is even happening. You know, I think one of the funniest ones was, one of my clients, using the butt plugs because he was post surgery, is on Scruff or one of the apps and gets a DM that he's, you know, wants to hook up with this guy. So they're going back and forth and they're back and forth. And then, he decides that he's going to go to the gym and work out. And then in the gym, he, says that he needs to dilate because Dr. Goldstein said dilate before he takes this guy. So he uses his plugs in the shower. He then goes to the locker room to unlock his lock, and he forgets his combination.
Oh, so Lord, now have
he's
mercy.
Got, so now he's got the three butt plugs in his hand. He decides, okay, what I'll do is I'm going to wrap the butt plugs in a towel, and I'm going to put them on the bench. He goes to get the manager to open the door. He opens the door. He gets dressed, and he leaves. And, of course, he leaves without his butt plugs.
Oh, so he was never able to dilate.
So no, he did. He dilated before, but the story says that he was quite upset because those butt plugs were quite expensive. So he goes back to the gym and finds the gayest queen in the gym and says, "Can you do me a favor and look for these plugs?" Of course, the queen goes, finds the plugs, and the manager says, "Whose are these? I want to see whose these are." And then comes over to the guy and bans him from the gym for life.
Are you serious?
Serious. Because it's like, you know, violating the gay, you know, the sex act in these locker rooms. So I get an email on Sunday afternoon saying, "Goldstein, you're never going to believe this fucking shit. This
is what's going on.
Can you write me a letter saying that it's doctor's orders? That you told me to do this?" And of course I said, "Absolutely." So I did it, and he got reinstated back at the gym. But it's quite a funny story. He bought him that night successfully, and the guy was quite huge.
Well, yes, you know what?
For you, that's doctor. For him.
Definitely. I thought it was bad when I found someone's dentures left on my table at the restaurant I work at. That's pretty good.
That's amazing, actually.
I threw him out.
Well,
they were mad.
Listen, Dr. Goldstein, seriously, it has truly been an amazing conversation to really have with you and have you join us and talk about what you do. Certainly, it brings a different perspective to our listeners, but one that I think that they could really take advantage of.
Why
and
do
also
you keep looking
about.
At me when
I
you know. Say that?
Because, you know, it's you've got a lot of work to do, girl. But
I took notes for her, don't worry.
I'm proud
of you.
I've
been typing away the whole time.
I'm proud of you, Christopher. So before we let you go, you did say you can go to bespokesurgical.com. You have a Facebook page, or is there anything that you would like to plug yourself? You mentioned a blog. What's the website for the blog?
Medium. We're on Medium, so medium.com, and then you can. I think it's Dr. Evan Goldstein, so you can look on that. Instagram is one of our great feeds. We do everything on there. We try and put the pretty ass for sure, but underneath that, we do a lot of commentary work to try and really give people the science and the understanding. So Facebook, YouTube. All the, you know, our website's a great resource. We have tons of stuff that's there. And, you know, we're trying to really build a community, and kind of be really, looking at things in a different perspective and making sure that people are practicing the right way.
Anally aware. I like it.
That's awesome.
Anally aware.
And you'll never make it to their Insta.
Does every, surgery come with a complimentary bleaching?
Only yours, actually.
Yes!
He's going to hold you to that.
Oh, I will. I'm going to get out and be in so much pain. I'll be like, it's not done right.
I can't with him. I can't. So, Dr. Goldstein, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And you know what? You've got an open invitation to come back and talk on the show anytime you want.
Oh, no, we're definitely having you back. Yeah. We're going to have like segments with you.
If you have a new procedure, anything you want to announce, let us know. Seriously, because this has been one of the most fun conversations and interviews that I've had in a very long time. We've been doing this show for over 2 years now, and this is our 100th episode.
Yeah.
And you were it. So that's amazing.
Thank you so much for having me, for sure.
Seriously. It was great.
We're going to have to come down and come see you in New York City. And
well, you're going to have to come drive me and pick me up. I can't go by myself.
Well, actually, we'll do the next podcast in the operating room.
Yes! we'll be videoing by then.
No one wants to see that asshole, Nick. Sold. We'll just do the radio part.
Sold.
No, they'll want to see it after he's done with it.
Exactly, after.
But then we need a before and after to show the devastation it started with.
I'll take a close-up picture of this, and I'll be like, yeah, that's what he left.
Okay, all right, guys, that's enough. You're roasting me next week, remember? Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us. And like I said, you have an invitation to join us anytime you want.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a great night.
You too, doctor. Enjoy that weather in LA.
We'll do it. Thanks again. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right, guys. That was Dr. Goldstein all the way from LA. He's got his offices in New York City, so make sure that you guys go check him out at bespokesurgical.com. What an amazing guy. I'm sorry. That was one of either the funniest, amazing like conversations that I've had in a very long time.
I'm just super happy about the fact that he is so openly catering to gay men. And this is a demographic and an area in which gay men have needed this for a long time.
Absolutely.
And needed somebody who has the knowledge and education to actually treat people appropriately and so that they can, you know.
And educate people.
Yeah.
That's the most important part. Because you can avoid having to have these surgeries if you do things properly.
I felt heartbroken for that guy at the gym. Of course, he lost his membership for life and then he got reinstated. But damn, whose butt plugs are these? Oh my God, can you imagine? That would totally be you, Trish.
That would.
Seriously. She would walk into the gym with her bag.
I'd be like, those aren't mine.
It would be me that found them, though. Like, who the fuck's butt plugs? And be like,
but see, in her bag, it wouldn't only be butt plugs. It would be butt plugs. It would, of course, be a couple of oxycodones and then, you know, several, like, bottles of lube, different kinds of lube, tasty lube,
rainbows,
you know, slippery lube, water-based lube.
Isn't this next week?
Let's just move it up now. Yeah, we have Hartman waiting in the other room, actually.
We did promise our listeners that it was this
week,
and we're so bummed that we were like, shit, we literally bummed. We're so bummed that we forgot a whole fucking week. We're like, wait, it's not next week. It's the week after. It's Christopher's birthday, which is in February, and I just spit all over my mic. I'm sorry.
So what I'm really thinking we should do moving forward is that I would really like to develop a monthly or a couple every other month where we have Dr. Goldstein either come on or record a little educational snippet for our listeners.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Why not? I'm going to reach out and see if that's something that he'd be willing to do, whether it's him coming on or him just sending us like a 3-minute audio file or 2-minute audio file.
Why not? Yeah. What do you listeners, you know, think? If you guys want to hear that information, I think it's very amazing information, especially in our community for our guys to have, you know?
And maybe Bespoke Surgical will be one of our sponsors.
Shit. I forgot to ask him what. Oh, fuck. I should have asked him. Anyway, but I wanted to ask him, okay, so what's the difference in your opinion, in your learned opinion, the difference between a bottom and a power bottom?
Oh.
Damn it.
I feel like a power bottom is like a bossy bottom.
But that's a great. That's a great thing, like, to have him back on for.
Yeah, you know,
like a little snippet.
And we'll get to the bottom of this.
Thank you. Okay, Liz,
I'm proud of you, Christopher. Look at you.
I like puns.
He's getting all learned.
They need to be a sponsor of ours. Just saying.
Yeah, just saying.
Look, after we'll see how it goes, and then we'll talk about it.
All right.
And Liz is going to be a nurse. Maybe they can take her in as an intern. Just don't leave her in charge of catheters. She totally be the one who would like trip over and something like, whoops.
What? Sorry, did I just yank that out of you? I'll put another one in.
She would trip over.
She's gonna be.
She would just be like, oh.
She'd be like, oh.
Did I do that? It's either that or she'll trip over her feet. One of the two. But either way, you'll have fun with her. She's amazing. We love her. And she needs to come back. Is she done with school yet?
No, she's not. She's in nursing school. She going to be in school till 2019.
Ooh, girl, she's going to be there for a while, just like me. All right, so, all right, we need to keep it moving. We've got some, a couple of other things to talk about. Nick, you had a story. Tell us about Serena Williams.
So, Serena Williams went on Twitter and blasted another tennis player. And I don't know how to pronounce his name, so I'm going to...
Why don't you like Christopher? You know, he always speaks those non-words.
I'm not looking
so
at
I think
article.
I think it's tennis... Tenny's Sangreen, I think that's the name.
Sangreen.
Well, I don't watch tennis. If Pat was here, he would be able to tell us exactly what's going on. But this person in 2012 tweeted out an anti-gay tweet. So basically what happened was he somehow ended up in a gay club in 2012, and after his visit, he said via Twitter that it left his eyes bleeding.
Now, because he went to a gay bar?
He went to a gay club, and I'm sure, you know, maybe he saw drag queens, maybe he saw men hooking up, maybe he saw whatever he saw in this gay club. But so that he tweeted that out, which is, one, it's homophobic, it's inappropriate, it's not supportive of the community. If you don't want to be there, don't be there. You have a choice to walk through
Why
that door.
Why was he in there in the first place?
Right. That I don't know, but you have a choice to walk through that door. When you walk through that door, whatever happens, that's a safe space for our community. And so what happens beyond that door is not your, it's not your place to then slam it or slander it on any social media, because you walked into a safe space. It was your choice to walk into that safe space. That being said, somehow this came up recently, and this was a tweet in 2012, and he did publicly apologize on January 25th. In regards to the gay club tweet from 2012, I used poor and harsh words to describe a bad experience, and it is not indicative of how I feel about the people in that community. To everyone I offended with that, please accept my apology. Wait, hold on. The only reason that he apologized was because a day before, Serena Williams tweeted out a picture followed by a statement. Maturity, this is the picture. Maturity is being able to apologize and admit when you're wrong, because you know that your mistakes don't identify you.
Define you.
Thank you. Don't define you. And then she tagged him in a post and said, I don't need one or want one. But there is an entire group of people that deserve an apology. I can't look at my daughter and tell her I sat back and was quiet. No, she will know how to stand up for herself and others through my example.
Bravo.
Yeah, I'm super proud of her. And I think this ties into exactly what happened up in Canada recently when Justin Trudeau publicly apologized to the gay community.
Mm-hmm. On behalf of the Canadian government.
Right. And so whether it happened in 2012 or 2018...
At some point, you have to apologize. You know, if you truly feel redemption...
If you want to be a true ally.
Yeah. You have to apologize for the wrongdoings of any community, not just the LGBT community. But it's worth noting, too, that this article says that the 26-year-old got called out at the Australian Open this past week because he not only tweeted that in 2012, but he does also tend to follow alt-right and extremist Twitter accounts, which leads you to believe that, you know, we know where he stands regarding the LGBT community. You know, I mean, if you follow these people and this is what you are used to following and used to being exposed to, there is no doubt whatsoever where extremists and people, you know, who are alt-right stand with the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if that's your ideology, we can certainly see that your apology really doesn't carry any weight to it.
You know what? Yeah, that's one way to look at it. But I think I'm going to take the high road, because when they we go high.
Yes, Michelle Obama. Love her.
Because
my true
FLOTUS. Whether or not he truly supports the community or not, what he did was make a public statement and apologize for the comment that he made. And making that public statement is more than a public statement if you are of the alt-right persuasion, right? Because you're then going against everybody that you support in a way, and making a statement that that statement does not define how he feels about the community.
But did he come out and apologize only because Serena Williams, like, called him out on it?
See, that I don't know. The tweet did come out a day after.
So the tweet comes out a day after. Serena Williams puts him on blast, which she very well should have. Thank you, Serena. And then all of a sudden now he comes out with an apology. It's like, really? Because it's going to like blow up because someone like Serena Williams took time out of her day to stand up for our community?
Or maybe he just didn't even look at it like that, or she finally said something about the tweet. And because of the current climate in which we all are living.
Mm-hmm. I still smell bullshit.
It probably is bullshit. But if you look around the world and how much positive movement has happened recently with marriage equality in Australia, mm-hmm. and then all of those countries that just passed marriage equality.
That's amazing.
There's like probably 45. Fire and pressure under these people that are in the spotlight to acknowledge and accept a community. And if this is one step in that direction, whether or not he truly is 100% behind this tweet or not, I'll take it because it's that one small step that we need to make, or that this group of alt-right people may need to make so that we can move forward as a community.
I hope so. I truly hope so. I truly hope that we make...
It's one small step for a tennis player, one big step for the gay mankind. Hello.
Yes. You know, it's a good thing when things start moving in the right direction. By the way, I do have to say that the State of the Union is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not watching.
It's a very important thing to watch.
I'm not watching that man do anything, but I will watch after when, of course, Joseph Kennedy comes out and gives a rebuttal. He's my new favorite ginger. He really is.
You know who's not going to be there?
Who?
Ginsburg. Ruth ain't going.
I love her.
She's going to be at a book signing.
I learned that
today.
Yes.
She ain't going because she was she openly spoke out against then candidate Trump, which is very unheard of for a sitting justice to do. So she will not be attending tomorrow's State of the Union.
That's my girl. That is my girl. Yes. Ruthie, what's this?
I don't know. I love Dr. Goldstein and I love his people, but they love to email. Hello.
Well, girl, you're late. Love you, Kristen.
Love you.
You're late, honey. We had one of the most amazing interviews.
I think she's listening live right now.
Are you listening, girl? Well, send him another email. He loves those.
Honestly, I have so many emails, and I get so many emails every day that I'm like, okay, which one is the most important that I have to get back to today? You know, like with Gay Talk, because I have my full-time job, so I'm like, I have 1,000 actionable emails constantly with that.
You know, I aside from the fact that we're going to roast you next week, I do have to say thank you and appreciate you for all that you do, because with me in school and now Christopher in school, you really have taken another full-time like job in doing it and booking and dealing with a lot of the people that reach out to us. So we truly, truly appreciate it. And that must be said.
I'm just going to hold on to that because next week's going to be hard.
You're going to need it.
And though apparently me studying full time is not me working hard enough, because she had to go, oh, well, you are unemployed for the moment.
This turned into the roast of...
Don't get me started.
For like 2 more weeks.
Oh, guys, let's go have another shot and not get crazy now, okay? All right. We've got 2 more stories that maybe we can cover if you'd like, and then we can sort of kind of wrap it up and put, a bunch of things everywhere.
Yeah, okay. Sounds great.
All right. So, Christopher, why don't you tell us about your story?
I was like, oh, shit, he's going to call on me. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Like, the story was very confusing to me because I don't know if it was a fuck up, if it was a setup, but the title of this, the headline of the story was Russia recognizes first gay marriage, then immediately charges couple with criminal damage.
Jesus.
So I was reading this and it says a gay Russian couple became the first to have same-sex marriage legally recognized in their homeland, only to be hit with criminal charges and a state denial that their marital status was ever approved. Eugene W., I'm not going to try that one right now, and Pavel Stotsko.
That's a first on Gay Talk.
There are way too many consonants in that name. Way too many. Wojciechowski. I don't know.
He doesn't know how to pronounce a foreign word?
I need to go to bed. Anyway, they tied the knot on January 4th in Denmark, and as we know, in Denmark, same-sex marriage is legal, and then they returned to Moscow to see if their marriage would be recognized by Russian authorities.
Of course not.
To their, well, To their surprise, a civil servant took one look at the Danish certificate and updated their passports to reflect the union. But the couple's joy was short-lived as they were charged with, quote, intentional damage to passports or negligence. And, of course, the Moscow Department of Interior denied that the government employee ever stamped this. But apparently, they updated their passport and said that they were
a married couple.
Then charging them. So I'm confused. Was the person like tired and didn't like realize that it was two men standing in front of him and updated this? Or did they do this on purpose just to charge them? But it was...
Well, a lot of times passports, it's more of a mail-in thing.
Well, no, he said he went there and he did it in person.
Okay.
They looked at it, they stamped it and changed it. But the weird thing was like the damage to the documents entails either a warning or an administrative fine in the amount of 100 to 300 rubles, which is like... €1 26 cents to €3 30. It's like $2 fine.
No, but
they got arrested?
No, it's just I don't think they were actually arrested.
But their marriage is not valid.
It's not valid.
In Russia.
Of course,
according
it's not
to the Kremlin,
be.
Right?
Are you kidding me? Wearing a freaking rainbow, it's enough to get you fucking arrested in fucking Russia. What makes you believe that a homosexual marriage is going to be accepted?
Well, like,
I don't, but I want it to be.
With what Tom was saying, it was back in 2013 that Russia introduced a controversial gay propaganda law, which banned the promotion, quote unquote, of homosexuality among minors. So, especially like if teachers were allies, they would lose their jobs immediately, get chased out of the cities. Those are the big things that really is haunting any gay people that are closeted in Russia, even though people like Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron have been like pushing Putin to address the situation.
Never
it's
happen.
Never happening. I mean, you could see with Kadyrov and all that, what's gone on in Chechnya and former Soviet state of Azerbaijan, like Putin's not going to do anything to change this. He's like a forerunner in these.
Shame. All right, let's move left field because now we have a story from our favorite website. Are you guys ready?
UnicornBooty.com.
And it's true. It's really from them.
Not really.
I wanted to report on this last week, but we didn't have a chance. But so there is a new app. And this app, the purpose of this app is for tracking morning erections.
Oh, God, I need to be on this app. I want to track morning erections all over my neighborhood.
But here you go. It has a really important goal.
Okay, okay. What is that?
So the app is called Morning Glory Tracker. So this app encourages men to report every time they wake up with an erection, or morning wood, as it's informally called.
The thought of the fact that I would have to report it would probably make my wood go down.
I mean, like, deal with it and then report it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, I don't want to deal with it. I want to be able to report it so someone else can come and deal with it.
It's not like reporting it. It's like rolling over and like looking at the calendar and saying, "Yep, did it."
I'm just gonna look down and be like, "Proud of you."
Exactly. Like, good job, buddy. Like, moving on.
Oh, Pee Wee.
But if you report a boner, then the app rewards you with a funny animated GIF. We all love GIFs. Uh-huh. Wake up with an erection 3 days in a row, and it'll show you a confetti-filled screen to celebrate your boner streak.
No.
Hashtag boner streak.
No.
Oh my God. But while a boner app might sound silly,
yes, a little,
the app actually has serious aim.
If that motherfucker ain't popping out of that goddamn screen after three boners in a row, we have issues.
All right, so this app helps to actually track men's overall health.
Uh-huh.
A man's health app focused on erectile dysfunction, the inability to get an erection during sexual intercourse.
Cursive.
One of the best indicators of a guy's overall health is whether or not he wakes up with an erection. If you wake up with morning wood, it means your blood flow and your hormones are working properly, and that you're at a lower risk for things like diabetes, heart disease, and other chronic diseases.
Diabetes.
Yes, diabetes.
This app has the approval of Dr. Stephen Lamb, medical director at the New York University for Men's Health, and he's not the only doctor who agrees. I'm not going to read that name, but I can read the first one. Tobias
Kuller.
Toby!
MD, an associate professor and resident program director of the urology division at Southern Illinois University School of Medicine, said that the lack of morning boners can also indicate underlying conditions like heart disease, blocked blood vessels, high cholesterol, or high blood pressure. The Boner app is a good idea. But don't worry, if you don't get Morning Wood, the Morning Glory Tracker will tell you that you're not getting enough erections and will suggest that you go see a doctor.
Okay.
So, and offer free consultation with Roman's clinical director.
All right, so which one of us will break the meter? Which one of us can break the 3-day streak?
Mm-hmm. I'm staying out of this. It's private information.
Whatever.
I don't know. We'll all download the app and see what happens.
All right.
All right. So the app also has a calendar to keep
display
the frequencies. I love how she just
volunteers me for shit. But go ahead.
But it has a calendar, so it'll show your morning erections. But what's okay? So this is fucking hilarious, right? So you're gonna track your morning erections. But what we didn't realize is that all those erections that we get in the morning are actually a good thing. It's a good sign that we're healthy and we have good blood flow. And Chris doesn't have diabetes.
Diabetes. See, now I'm really pissed. When I made all the signs, I really wanted to make a diabetes sign. And this would have been the perfect point to have the diabetes sign.
So again, this is the Morning Glory Tracker. And I think that everybody that listens to our show should download it, whether you're a woman or not a woman. and track your morning wood, even if it's your husband's. Because if it's your husband's morning wood, guess what? You know if he's healthy or not.
You know what, ladies? I got you. I will make a wide-on tracker for you. So we have... because I care about our ladies. You hear that, Jess? I care about us. Oh, I care about you ladies, and I will make an app just for you ladies.
We should just call it the Jess Branis tracker, because we all know she's got a healthy sexual appetite.
That's right. Your morning wide-on with Jess Branis.
She's gorgeous.
Sounds
she's
like gorgeous. A morning show.
It does.
Hello.
Welcome to my morning wide-on.
Hello.
With your host, Jess Branis.
Oh my gosh, she's going to have another podcast now. We just literally gave her another idea.
TM.
TM.
CM.
Yeah, CM.
So yeah, that's it. I just wanted to report on the Morning Wood Tracker, so here we go.
All right, we've got one more sponsor to promote. Here's a sponsor. We'll be right back.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Studio Sweden. If you're looking for an affordable headset with amazing sound quality, style, and comfort, head on over to studiosweden.com and take a look at the selection of headsets available. With an amazing variety, you are sure to find one that suits your style and needs. Use discount code GAYTALK2.0 for 15% off your entire order, and remember, it's free shipping worldwide. studiosweden.com. Now back to the show.
And we're back. Yes, studiosweden.com. My headsets that I have on week after week are from them. They're amazing. Get them, please. Use that Gay Talk. Is it Gay Talk 20 or 2.0? I forgot.
I think it's 2.0.
Yeah. You can use that to get, you know, a discount on them. They're amazing. Get them. Anyway, we've got two more things that we need to cover before we wrap things up. And I will kick it off to the boys because this is their segments. Go for it. Who's going to do it?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this week's Gay Talk term is brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
So this week's Gay Talk term is Morning Dew.
Morning Dew.
This is known from San Francisco in the early 70s.
Uh-huh.
So Morning Dew is early morning stragglers left over from last night's cruising.
Okay.
So if you are using that Morning Wood Tracker, you can first deal with your stragglers, and then track your morning wood. So this week's Gay Talk term is morning dew.
Morning dew, but okay.
Kind of sounds like a walk of shame.
Yeah, can we elaborate stragglers? In what context are they using the word stragglers?
Oh, does that mean like they didn't leave after
early
banging?
Morning stragglers left over from last night's cruising. They probably didn't ditch, so they're like still hanging around.
You're like, so they're still in the house.
Mm-hmm. You're trying to find your Adderall and pop one so you can get to work on time.
You got morning wood. Damn, I got a whole bunch of healthy people in my goddamn motherfucking house. And then after you track them, it's like that Judge Judy gif where it's like banging on the watch, like, get out.
It's time to go.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even give them an opportunity. I'm like, oh, did you come? Here's your clothes.
Your Uber's waiting.
Exactly. Your Uber's waiting.
In our case, Lyft. But anyway, go on.
Go. Christopher?
Oh, it's my turn.
Yes.
So we're going to do On This Day in Gay History, brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Kind of.
Why can't we say it's brought to you by, like, you know, Bespoke Surgical?
Because they're not our sponsor yet, and neither is unicornbooty.com. And when unicornbooty.com sponsors us, it will be brought to you by unicornbooty.com.
No. Okay.
Well, I thought this was a good one, especially because we had a doctor on today. So on this day in gay history in Arizona, January 29th, 1983, Arizona's first lesbian and gay health fair was held. So the health fair was held in El Pueblo Neighborhood Center at 101 West Irvington in Tucson, Arizona.
Of course, it has to be Tucson. Thanks, Chris.
In Tuscan. Tuscan. Tuscan.
I can't.
I forgot about that. She just sets us up for this.
Right?
It's so great. You just better not speak next week.
It's I'm like, not coming.
I'm like freaking out about getting material
I
together.
I might just
I'm like,
Skype in.
Fuck her. Seriously.
It might be better for myself so I could just hit end if I need to.
Oh, wear sunglasses to cover that dripping mascara.
Right?
I don't wear a mascara.
Eyeshadow?
Cracking Bondo. I don't know, whatever you want to call
anything. Finish your goddamn story. Okay, can we back to on this game day, history?
This is why we have a 2-hour show, ladies and gentlemen.
Anywho, so in Tuscan, Arizona, health fair include the health. I couldn't help myself.
Oh, we're having a Heather moment.
I got this now. The health fair includes workshops on nutrition, gay relationships, gays' legal rights, health, and other issues. Women's clinics included pap smears, vaginal exams, and men's clinics included rectal exams, wart removal, and rectal cultures. The event was sponsored by the Free Clinic of Tucson, Tucson Lesbian Gay Pride Committee, Gay Community Services, and the Tuscan Gay Health Project.
Tucson. I know.
That's it.
All right, okay. Tommy, let's go.
All right, so listen, if you love the show, we're going to wrap it up. If you love the show, you can help us in one of three ways: to let others know about the show and also to ensure that it becomes more visible within our podcasting community. The first thing you can do is subscribe to the show, and you can do so. In doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or your web browser as soon as the episode is published. You can rate and review our show. And doing so, all you need is an iPhone or any type of gadget that has either the Apple Podcast app, Google Play Music for our Android listeners, and you can also rate us on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, or any other podcatching application. I love saying podcatching all of a sudden. And finally, you can support us on Patreon. Patreon is a service that allows you, our listeners, to donate money to the show if you guys want to help us out in keeping up with the production of the show. And something as low as a dollar can help us go a long way. So, Christopher?
Oh, yeah. Next week. Episode 101.
101.
The very much anticipated roast of our very own Nick or Trish.
And notice down. How we're the only ones clapping.
It's going to be interesting when I finally leave the show.
I'll kill her.
It will be the last day of Trish on Gay Talk 2.0.
But at least we'll still going have out. Nick. Yeah, but you'll be, well, yeah, that's true. Trish is gone.
Do you guys realize that this couldn't be happening at a more worse time in my like emotional life?
You probably need this.
Timing is impeccable.
Yeah. Just tear me up before I build it back up again.
Exactly. The universe has a way of tearing up that butthole, and then you can just go see Dr. Goldstein and rebuild it.
You'll appreciate it because we're going to kick you while you're down, not when you're, up and then rip you back down.
Hello.
Well, you're just like salt the wound.
Yeah, you're already down
beat
there.
Beat the dead horse.
Yeah.
Take advantage of the situation. Opportunism.
Yep, the common denominator is always Trish.
Lord knows I have plenty of chairs in that freaking basement. I just throw them all at you. You'll be fine.
We'll just get you wasted next week.
Exactly.
Anyway, thank you to our guest, Dr. Evan Goldstein, for joining us on today's show. For more information on Bespoke Surgical Cole and Dr. Goldstein, you can follow him on Facebook at Bespoke Surgical or visit their website, and that's www.bespokesurgical.com, and that's BESPOKE
proud of you.
surgical.com.
Yeah.
I also want to reiterate, because I got another email today about the People's Podcast Choice Awards. Registration is done. We are registered for nomination, but nominations do not begin until July 1st, 2018.
For the voting, right?
For the voting.
So, correct. Yeah, to our listeners who have reached out to us asking us about this. Yeah, so July. Mm-hmm. In July, you'll be able to actually interact with that website and get us a vote.
Yep, and that would be podcastawards.com.
Yas. All right, Christopher.
This shit is getting real out of hand. Tom, can we put a butt plug in this episode?
Let's put a butt plug on it. All right, go for it.
Guys, as always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your browser. You can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host, preferably Chris, because, you know, he gets all the emails.
I don't get them no more.
It's either that or, you know, oh, well, you get them now because they say that they want us to roast trash.
That's a valid point, actually. I'll take that one.
At your behest, yes. So you can also call us on our phone. On our Gay Talk phone, we'll answer any questions you have on the show if you'd like us to. The phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all those digits, that's 334-429-8255. Yes, it's an Alabama number.
Tom pays for that shit every month. Someone call us, damn it.
Yes. And don't forget that we stream our show live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it has truly been our honor to serve you for 100 episodes. Thank you very much, and y'all have a good night.
Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.